This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Equity crowdfunding allows regular investors to enter the world of early stage investing, a world that was accessible only by private equity, venture capitalists, or high value investors. Capital raised on equity crowdfunding platforms in Malaysia jumped more than 450% to just under 130 million ringgit last year. And half of that amount was raised by PitchIn, making them Malaysia's leading equity crowdfunding platform. PitchIn raised just under 60 million ringgit in 2020, almost three times more than they did in 2019. That said, given the uncertain times we're in now, can PitchIn continue this astronomical growth they saw? To find out, I'm speaking with Sam Shafi, CEO and co-founder of PitchIn. Sam, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you, Roshan, for having me.
Now, let's start off with your own crowdfunding, actually, because PitchIn successfully concluded its first ever fundraising exercise, Sam, at the end of its campaign, the equity crowdfunding campaign, which was held on Lead Capital. PitchIn raised 5.5 million ringgit from 322 investors. What are the plans for those funds?
Yeah, Roshan, it's true that we actually did our own fundraising campaign through equity crowdfunding. We got to believe the product itself. So we then decided to raise our funding, our first ever funding through Lead Capital, gained 5.5 million from 322 strong investors. That particular fundraising, Roshan, is predominantly to be used for our growth. This is again, our first ever fundraising. We've always been bootstrapping the company since day one. But one day, Cash and I decided that we need to raise funding because we have bigger plans. And we want to grow PitchIn to be not just an ECF platform, but really a digital investment hub.
That's an interesting point, and we're going to get into that a little later, right? Because you have IEO plans, you're also looking at the secondary market on your platform as well. But in terms of expansion, are you also looking to spend this money to grow overseas, or is it primarily focused on the domestic market?
Yeah, so Roshan, so the 5.5 million is not the only fundraising we're doing. We're currently finalizing another 5 million round with at least two VCs. So we're very close to actually confirming that. We should be able to get all the documents signed by the end of July. So hopefully by August, we would probably be able to announce an actual 10.5 million round. So to your question, Roshan, yes, apart from building and introducing new business units on PitchIn, and some of them you have already mentioned, but we are also looking to expand, right? I think we need to get out of Malaysia, not just in terms of our growth, but also really realizing our ambition to become the regional hub for investment and fundraising in ASEAN. So yes, that is part of the plan to really expand outside of Malaysia.
So aside the expansion plans, how much more of a runway does this funding buy you overall?
It actually gives us a lot of lead time, Roshan, to be very honest. It probably will allow us at least 2 years of lead time runway. So that itself will make us be able to grow at our own pace. So we don't really have to rush in and do things quickly. So the 10 million, the 10.5 million would actually give us at least 2 years lead time. And that's why I think we have these plans already on board, and we're looking forward to execute all of them in the next 12 to 16 months. Yeah.
Right. And of course, when we take a look at your run rate or your growth, an important part to pay attention to is, of course, revenue, Sam. So PitchIn makes money primarily through fees, a percentage of funds raised, ranging between 3.5% and 7%, depending on the type of deal. As I mentioned earlier, you raised 60 million ringgit in 2020, almost three times more on year. Did revenue also jump around three times?
Oh, yeah, it did. The revenue jumped twice, actually. So the revenue jumped twice in 2020 from 2019. We're expecting a similar growth also in 2021. It's been good. It's been really good.
Yeah. Wow. So funds raised jumped three times in 2020. Revenue jumped two times. So are you profitable yet?
We are. We've actually been profitable, Roshan, since 2019, right? So 2019 was the first year we became profitable. And again, mind you, this was all bootstrapped since 2015 when we first started, So 2019, we finally were profitable now. We're taking this also in 2020, 2021. With the fundraise, would then allow us to actually build new things, spend a lot of money on technology, get more people. Roshan, I think people would be one of the most important things that we will have to do. And as you know, and some of the viewers or listeners would know, pitching plays in a very regulated space, which means compliance, due diligence is top of the priority, not just with regards to pitching, but also with our number one clients, not issuers, not investors, but the regulators, right? So we need to get them happy. Yeah.
So Sam, is that operating profitability or cash flow positive as well?
Cash positive. Yeah, that's right.
Now, Sam, early stage investing is always risky. That's why we're always looking for returns isn't percentage, it's X, right? How many X kind of returns am I looking for in the longer term? Yeah. And we're also seeing startups generally staying private for much longer. So equity crowdfunding is quite an interesting way to, I guess, tap into the early stages here. What kind of, I guess, returns can investors expect, especially considering that this could take a very long time to kind of see that realizable value?
Right. Right. So you're right on the dot, Roshan. I think equity crowdfunding, and we've always sold this equity crowdfunding to investors as a long-term investment, right? So if you're looking for shorter wins, then you should go to, say, a peer-to-peer financing platform, because within 6 or 12 or 18 months, you could actually get your money back plus some. But the returns are not potentially as big as what you could get if you were to invest in a startup on equity crowdfunding, yeah? Because as you mentioned, Roshan, the returns could be in multiples of 2, 5, 10, right? So those are the potential returns that you do. But then you need to have that staying power because the exits are a bit longer. Having said that, we are going to launch the secondary market soon, hopefully by August or September. We are awaiting the approvals from the SC. I think we're very, very close to getting it. But once we get it, we can then have a real secondary market, which will be very transparent, which will be available for anyone and everyone to sell and trade shares. Having said that, Roshan, even prior to us launching the secondary market, right, we have been facilitating secondary sales by investors who invested in some companies on the platform. And I think roughly we've done at least more than close to 10 million worth of this kind of investments. We hope to see that later in an actual secondary market. But on top of that, Roshan, we've already seen some exits with regards to investors in MyCash Online. There will be at least two companies who are planning to go public listing, I think within the next 6 to 12 months. So you will see potentially two ECF companies who raise money from hundreds of investors now going public. And that's a kind of what they call news that we want to see more happening so that we can get more and more people to look at ECF as really a viable way for them to park some of their money for a bit of long-term investments.
Now, Sam, of course, on the flip side here, we've got to talk about risk as well, right? Because, you get in early, but when the earlier you get in, the higher the risk that these businesses could close shop, essentially, right? They can run out of money, the business proposition doesn't work, a variety of things can go wrong. Have any of the businesses that have raised money on your platform had to close shop?
Yeah, great, great question, Roshan. Again, we always tell people, when I tell investors, or when we pitch companies to investors, right, the first thing that I would tell investors is that 70%, there's a 70% chance they would actually lose their money, right? Mm. So the idea is to really, set the expectations very, very clear that this is a really risky investment. And you're right, Roshan, being early also means that you take upon a lot of risk compared to the later round investors, because by then businesses will be more stable. They know already the way to profit. But when you're investing in a very early stage company, you have really, really risky chances of actually losing your own money, right? So to your question, yes, there have been at least two companies which had to actually close down because it wasn't working out for them. One was in the gym industry, but they didn't really close down. What happened was that they were acquired by another company, Having said that, investors did lose some money in that acquisition. The second company, Roshan, that had actually to close down, they were badly hit by the pandemic, right? So this company, their business was really selling football tickets, right, to football fans virtually. But we all know what happened with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Football stadiums were not open. Hence, they couldn't run their company and they had to close down, right? So out of the 113, we had two companies who had to go through that unfortunate exercise.
I was speaking with Sam Shafi, CEO and co-founder of Pitch In, Malaysia's largest equity crowdfunding player, and you've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. This morning, I'm speaking with Sam Shafi, CEO and co-founder of Pitch In. Sam, looking forward, we're halfway through 2021. Are you on track to surpass the 59.5 million ringgit raised in 2020?
Yeah, that's great news, Roshan. We have actually, so we, at the end of June, we've actually done already 69 million.
Wow.
So it's 10 million more than what we did in 2020. We got, what, 5 more months to go. We're confident of actually meeting our target. In 2020, Roshan, we told ourselves at the end of 2020 that for 2021, we wanted to target 75 mil, right? So that's our projection for 2021. We're 6 million shy away from that. We think we'll be able to even surpass that. So we're right on track. In fact, we've surpassed the 2020 numbers.
So you hit last year's amount within half a year. Would I be too far-fetched in saying we're going to see 2x growth on your part this year?
I think so too. I think we'll be able to see that, yeah? So we're confident that, and again, we got some great deals coming up on the platform that we're actually, processing them. Really, really exciting companies in the fintech area. We're quite excited that we would probably be doing more than 75 mil from what we thought we should be doing for 2021.
Sam, let's look ahead, because one of the things you're looking to launch this year is, of course, the secondary market, which we mentioned earlier. I guess with this kind of secondary market offering, you become a little bit of an exchange of your own, right? It's like Bursa Junior, yeah. Junior, because Leap is that one layer, but now you're becoming a little bit of an equity market on your own. Yep. How does that play into the larger capital market ecosystem in Malaysia? Mm. What is your role there?
Yeah, so our role really, first and foremost, Roshan, is to our customers, right? The investors, right? So we want to give them this opportunity, an option for them to actually cash out faster than they would probably have. So liquidity has always been the number one issue with regards to equity crowdfunding, or even investing in any company that is not in the bursa, right? So you don't know when you could actually exit. So first and foremost, why we wanted to actually introduce, and we're very happy with the SC in terms of also having the same mindset in terms of having the secondary market, is really to help these investors to actually cash out if they need to cash out. Now, in terms of how do we then play with regards comparable to what bursa is doing, I think we're very focused on private limited companies. For now, it would be only companies who are fundraising through an equity crowdfunding platform. In the future, we don't know, Roshan. The SC may open it up to any other private limited companies in Malaysia, regardless of whether they are fundraising or not. We hope to see that. I would not discount that. I think we got really forward-minded regulators with us. But really, the differentiation between what we're doing and what, say, the bursa is doing is really about the type of companies who will be trading or fundraising on our platform. It will always be private limited companies. There are talks about allowing public companies to also raise money, Roshan, on equity crowdfunding, but these will be companies who are not listed in the bursa, right? So we may see in the future public registered companies not listed in the bursa also fundraising on the platform. Yeah.
Now, another difference, of course, is the size of the deals, right? I think for equity crowdfunding, it's now capped at 20 million ringgit, but just up from 10 million ringgit from before.
Yep.
And also, from listening to you, Sam, I get the impression here that two very important factors are going to be liquidity and network effects, essentially, right? The more users you have, you create a more vibrant market, the more businesses come to you to raise money. You represent more than half of fundraising last year. Is there space for more than one equity crowdfunding platform in the country?
I think there is, right? So right now, we have 10 right now. I think the top three platforms in Malaysia actually has around close to 90% of the market share in Malaysia. If you compare that to our peers in the UK, which is really, I would call the mecca of equity crowdfunding, they've done very, very well. It's a large market, but they only have two leading platforms there, Crowdcube and Cedars. So I think for Malaysia, the SC has given 10 licenses, but from what we observe, the top three platforms actually have between 85 to 90% market share in Malaysia. So we'll see. I think in the next 2-3 years, I think it'll be crucial for everyone else.
Sam, with 10 licenses in the country and 90% of the market with three of the players, at the end of the day, are we going to see consolidation here, or is there a lack of synergy between different platforms for acquisitions to make sense?
Yeah, so like I said, I think the market will correct itself. I don't know whether the word correct is the right word to use, because I'm then saying that it was not right to give that license. But I think the next 2-3 years, I think what you will see is that you will see each platform jostling for positions, and I think some of them would either want to consolidate, or, to be very honest and very upfront, Roshan, maybe they need to look at the business itself, right? Whether it's something worthwhile pursuing, right? Because there are costs involved, right? It's not a cheap way of actually running a company. Again, as I mentioned, you need to invest a lot in terms of technology, in terms of human resource, because we deal a lot with regards to due diligence and compliance. We're in a regulated space. So there are costs involved in this, right? And again, at Pitch itself, if we've not been able to grow to this level, right, I think Cash and I would have to ask ourselves, is this a business that we want to be in, right? If we're not making money, right, and struggling. So I think that's something which I think every one of us would have to then to ask ourselves in the next 2-3 years in terms of where we want to bring this. So for us at Pitchin, I think we're happy with what we've done so far. And hence, the next thing that we want to do is really to grow this company even larger than what it is right now.
So ultimately, Sam, it really does come down to scale. And with that scale, you get network effects, and that helps you to grow further, creates an entrenchment of users as well. And you are taking a look at the license to operate an initial exchange offering or an IEO platform. Yep. And just for very briefly here, IEO are basically operators that play kind of like a investment bank role, where they're helping to raise funds and underwrite these fundraisings for startups by issuing tokens instead of equity. Why explore this? What's the end game with this?
Yeah. So it's something that we want to offer as an alternative to companies who wants to raise funding and not want to actually give equity. Yeah. We foresee, Roshan, that this particular product will be probably much more favorable to much more matured companies. Yeah. Companies who have already either created a product that people can use, because we are giving out tokens in exchange for equity. So we're not giving equity away here. So what we do is that we're giving out tokens which later can be used by those investors, either for a service or for a product. And also those tokens can also be then traded in a digital asset exchange. And we all know that we have three digital asset exchange in Malaysia right now, licensed by the Securities Commission. So in terms of the type of companies, Roshan, that we see, using tokens as against equity will also be different, right? So those early stage, growth stage companies would probably still be looking at equity as a means for them to fundraise. Whereas we expect more mature companies to then look at the option of actually trying to raise their funding through IEO. So that's why there'll be a clear demarcation in terms of the type of companies. And that's where the marketing that we will do will be targeted towards different companies. Because for ECF, as you know, Roshan, currently the maximum is 10 million. The government is planning to extend it to 20. But with IEO, you could actually raise 20 times your paid up capital, right? So we're looking at a really, really large amount of money that companies could raise on an IEO as compared to an equity crowdfunding campaign.
So we're talking about companies, like you said, more mature, already have kind of services in play. Because end of the day, the digital tokens have to be backed by something, right? Because you're not giving equity. This is not debt. There's no collateral. So there needs to be something in exchange. Give us an example for digital tokens here.
Right. So digital tokens would be, example, would be a utility token, right? So which means that someone could then use this token for them to enjoy a service or to attain certain rights. Football fans out there, right? Some of you guys are maybe familiar with some clubs in Europe, which actually has done some digital tokens. And these tokens, Roshan, allows the fans to have some say in terms of decisions by the clubs, not major decisions, but decisions related to the the running of the club. So they have voting rights, they have rights to vote on a particular decision. So these are, again, simple examples of how a football club in Malaysia, right, could actually raise funding. Potentially, equity is probably not the way to go because we all know some of them are struggling, right? So hence, the equity may not have any value to it, for example, right now. But then with the giving out of tokens, what you could do is that you can empower your fans to also play a role in, and some fans may gravitate towards that. So that's what I call an easy example of how tokens can be used and how fans can also be investors in this particular token, right? So that's the football example that we've seen in some of European clubs who has actually done a fundraising of that nature. Yeah,
I've read a few reports. You guys are looking to launch more services in the next few years. What kind of services are we talking about? How are you going to expand the portfolio here?
Right. So right now, Roshan, we have ECF. That's our what we call go-to in terms of revenue. So we make money entirely right now through equity crowdfunding. What we want to do, Roshan, is to grow our revenue stream. So we've already what we call introduced a digital COSEC. So what that is really we want to be as early as possible to get these companies on our platform. So we have now a digital COSEC where companies can come in, open their companies, and we can then take them through the whole process as they grow. Next that we want to do is the secondary market, which I mentioned just now. We are waiting for the approvals by the Securities Commission. We've applied for the IEO. We've gone through some process with the SC, and we're waiting for that decision, and hopefully we will be getting the approvals to do that too. Towards 2022, we want to look at other products, Roshan. Again, the idea is to become a digital investment hub, right? And if you look at the regulated space where the SC regulates, you will see that apart from ECF, secondary market, IEO, you got P2P, you got what we call a digital asset exchange, you got the robo-advisory. Really, Roshan, we want to be that particular company that has all those approvals by the SC to offer them what they need. When I say them, is what companies need and what investors want to do. So we want to be a one-stop platform in Malaysia, not just in Malaysia, but also in this region. So it's going to be a long road, a long process, Roshan. Again, it's a regulated space. We need to get those licenses, every one of them, from the SC. And I think the work that we have done for ECF hopefully will help us in terms of our expansion plan. So we want to do it where we are strong right now, so that we can be able to then take on and also execute those plans that we have.
Sure. So Sam, based on everything we've talked about so far, especially in the last few minutes here, you're sounding a lot more, especially the way you want to go, like a digital investment bank plus a exchange as well. Is that essentially the long-term plan here?
Roshan, that is really on the dot. you've probably been reading our minds. So that really is our plan, right? We want to be that. Again, using the word bank is a bit sensitive because that signals that we need a license, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to be this digital investment hub, bank, whatever you want to call it, in the long term, right? So 3 to 5 years, that's our main plan. Our big plan, Roshan, is then to see whether we could potentially collaborate or work with or even be part of one of those 5 digital digital banks licenses that the central bank is planning to give out. So we're very focused in terms of what we want to do, which is really about investing and fundraising and to really build what we call an ecosystem of ourselves so that in the next 3 to 5 years, we'll be the number one platform for this. And eventually we'll be able then to coexist and work with those, what are called, digital banks that we will be seeing in the next 1 year.
Sam, on that note, I'd like to thank you so much for your time today. I wish we had more time to chat, but that's all for today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I was speaking with Sam Shafi, CEO and co-founder of PitchIn, Malaysia's largest equity crowdfunding player, and you've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanasan for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.